The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We welcome all of you into this beautiful sanctuary tonight and pray that God's word and the music and the entire atmosphere would be a blessing to you. I'm Pastor Larry Griffin, and I've been a pastor here for about 2 months now, and the plan is for me to be here for a year or so as an intentional interim pastor. And so tonight our theme is God's love, and we would invite you to explore the simple truth that Christianity is at its heart receiving the gifts that God is wanting to give us, and then the gifts flow from us out to one another. We begin with our opening hymn. Please rise. Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, bless his name.
Tell him his salvation from day to day.
Declare his glory among the nations.
His marvelous works among all the peoples.
For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols.
But the Lord made them.
Splendor and majesty are before him.
Before Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary.
Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples.
Ascribe to the Lord, glory and strength.
Bring an offering and come into his courts.
Bring an offering and come into his courts.
Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Sermon tonight is based on all three lessons. The Old Testament lesson from the prophet Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle, tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A second reading from Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you so much. As you are able, please rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. And at this time, we invite children forward. I need some of the older children to come on up as well, because I'm kind of confused up here. I need some children to help me figure some things out. Come on up. Thanks for coming up today. Thanks for y'all look really good. Especially you girls are really all dressed up and you guys look okay too. But I am kind of confused because all week long, guess what people have been doing? Guess what people have been doing for me? They've been bringing stuff to me. So I got some pretzels which are almost gone. I got some really good cookies, which are half gone, and I got some presents that I haven't even opened yet because I'm not sure why they're bringing me stuff, but I think I got it figured out. I think people must think it's my birthday. That's why they're bringing me stuff. So I'm wondering if you could sing "Happy Birthday" to me tonight. Here we go. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. So you're saying it's not my birthday. Well, then why are people bringing me stuff? It's Christmas Day, so they bring me stuff? Christmas Eve. Well, how many of you are going to open some presents tonight or tomorrow? So you got presents too? So is it your birthday? Should we sing happy birthday to you? All right, so why do you think... So it's Jesus' birthday, right? All right, so I was supposed to have the little baby Jesus right here, but I didn't want to break him, so let's sing happy birthday to Jesus right now, okay? Should we do that and have everybody join on in? Happy birthday to Jesus. Happy birthday to Jesus. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to him, you. So I still have one question. Why do we give each other stuff If it's the birthday of Jesus, to celebrate his birth, you're right. And so, what do you think we could give to Jesus if we were going to give him a gift or two in these 12 days of Christmas? What could we give Jesus? Yes, we could give him our love. And how do we give him our love, would you say? What's that? We could give him praise. Absolutely, that's one gift which we're doing tonight. We're singing praises to him, and that's a gift for Jesus. And how do you think we give our love to Jesus?
We pray.
We pray, and we praise, and what else? And what else?
We sing.
And what else? How about if we would be kind to one another? Would that be a gift we could give to Jesus by being kind to each other? Right, so the... Can you anybody think of anything besides kindness?
Forgiveness.
What's that?
Forgiveness.
We could forgive other people because we've first been forgiven, and would that be a gift to Jesus that we could give to one another? And so patience. How many of you have ever been had a hard time waiting for something? All right. How many of you have been bugging your parents to open up gifts before the time? Right. So here's what we're learning tonight, that God comes to us with his kindness, and he's very patient with us, and then we honor him by being kind and patient and grateful and generous with one another. Pray with me, please. Dear Jesus, thank you for being kind and being patient. Help us to be thankful and generous and patient in all of our days. Amen. Thanks for coming up today. Thanks for coming up today. You could go back now. Don't run me over. Hey, help me up. Thank you. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our texts include Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light, on them has light shined. And Luke chapter 2, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This is God's word. Dear Christian friends, not too far away from here is a young woman in prison who knows the darkness of meth addiction. She knows the darkness of a drunken husband trying to hit her in the head with a baseball bat. She knows the darkness of self-inflicted wounds that have cost her contact with three of her children. She knows the darkness of making mistakes that have threatened to ruin her life. And yet on her tonight, and in recent months, a great light has been shining. There in prison, she and other women are signing up for Bible study faster than the chaplain can provide them. There in prison, she has been reading from cover to cover a Bible. And praise be to God, she's even been reading a Lutheran catechism. You don't hear that every day. There in prison, I was able in recent days to look her in the eyes, to tell her that God loved her, to tell her that God has a plan to help her through, and even more than simply to survive, that God would have a plan to use her in his church to help others, to direct her to a God in heaven above who has loved her at the manger. He loved her at the cross. He loved her at the empty tomb. He loved her in the waters of baptism. He is loving her in all the stages of her life. She who has been dwelling in a land of deep darkness, on her a great light is shining tonight. 3 Wednesdays ago, we focused on the candle of hope. 2 weeks ago, a candle of peace. 1 week ago, a candle of joy. Tomorrow, the Christ candle. Tonight, a candle of love. Tonight, we see that the love of God is both predictable and unpredictable at the same time. In 3 ways, his love is both predictable and unpredictable. On the one hand, we know that God always keeps his promises. But on the other hand, we cannot predict exactly when. On the one hand, we know that God will always get done what he says he will get done. But on the other hand, we don't know exactly how. And third, on the one hand, we know that God will frequently use ordinary people to carry out his extraordinary wishes. But we don't know exactly by whom. Our sermon tonight will explore what life looks like when you and I spend our days loving one another in response to God first loving us. 2 lessons we have learned from our mother's knees. Tonight we learn them again. Christmas lesson number 1, God loved us so much, he sent his son to be our savior. And lesson number 2, if God loved us in this way, we have a duty to spend our days loving one another. Unto us a son has been given, and a child has been born. Our appointed lessons for tonight give us 2 metaphors for God's Christmas love. The first metaphor Isaiah gives to us tonight is of a great light chasing away the darkness. A great light chasing away the darkness. The Word of God is like a light unto our paths and a lamp unto our feet. Not too long ago, I was walking through our house in the middle of the night, trying to be quiet, focused on doing what we often do in the middle of the night, letting our precious golden doodle, Gabby, outside to do her business. At which time, I stepped on her favorite squeaky toy. At which time, Gabby thought I wanted to play. Debbie woke up, and my heart went into a racing mode. All of which I could have avoided if I had simply turned on a light. It's in the darkness that a lot of trouble happens. Far more dangerous than stepping on a squeaky dog's toy is the darkness that has been spreading over our nation in recent years. I read a statistic recently that 10 years ago, 77% of Americans claimed to be Christian. In this year, 2019, 65% of us claim to be Christian. In cities big and small, church attendance is declining. Increasing numbers of folks are keeping Christ at a distance, trying to mind their own business. We're focused on all kinds of priorities other than the Word of the Living God, and we're stepping into all kinds of darkness. Of course, the good news of great joy tonight is that no matter how deep or dark is your darkness in these days, God loves you. He loved you at the manger. He loved you at the cross. He loved you at the empty tomb. He loved you in the waters of your baptism. He loves you as often as you eat and drink at his supper. He loves you as often as you let his word be a light unto your path. The second metaphor Isaiah gives us tonight for God's love is of God multiplying the nation. Isaiah predicted that when the Messiah would be born, God would be enlarging the nation of believers. He was referring to the fact that not only would a small number of Jews believe in Jesus as Savior, but a multitude of Gentiles would be attracted to the New Testament church. As the years went on tonight, sanctuaries in cities big and small are swelling more than at any other time of the year. Praise be to God in fulfillment of this prophecy. St. Paul, the great missionary to the Gentiles, said it this way to Titus, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all the people." Dear friends in Christ, not only is tonight the most holy night of the church year, not only is it the most beautiful night of the church year, not only is it the most memorable night of the church year, not only is it the most highly attended night of the church year, it is the night with the greatest potential for all ages to taste the love of God at the manger and then to step it up in the way that we are kind and patient and forgiving with one another. Tonight, the love of God is both predictable and unpredictable. Predictable in that this candlelight service will be remembered for generations to come. Unpredictable in that only God knows the way that the Holy Spirit will be working in our hearts and in the days ahead, giving us opportunities to be kind and patient and generous in the lives of people around us. Which brings us to lesson number two. If God so loved us, well then we ought also to love one another. Three results of God's Christmas love I offer to you tonight on this silent and holy and life-changing evening. Three results. Three fruits of the Holy Spirit, three evidences of faith inside of us, one from each of the lessons, joy, self-control, obedience. From the Old Testament lesson tonight, the Spirit of God will be working on our hearts, not just a little bit of joy once in a while, but a consistent, a contagious, a distinctively Christian joy. The prophet Isaiah compares the joy of Christians worshiping God to the joy of farmers bringing in the harvest or the joy of soldiers winning the battle and then dividing the spoil? I suppose another metaphor he would have offered these days would be the joy of the Packer fans defeating the Vikings. An exuberant kind of a joy is what the Spirit of God has in mind for each one of us tonight. Please remember, not too far away is a man whose drinking habit has caused all kinds of brokenness in his marriage. And not too far away from him is a woman whose bouts of rage have frightened the very people she loves. And not too far away from her is a teenager whose heart is weighed down with guilt over recent mistakes. And not too far away from her is an elderly man who has missed countless opportunities to be kind and patient with family. But what all of them have in common is that they are sincerely sorry. In this very hour, they are repenting. And as they close their eyes, they can hear the angels and the archangels rejoicing. All is well. All is calm. All is bright. From tonight's epistle lesson, the Holy Spirit will be working in our hearts not just a little bit of self-control and godly living once in a while, but a consistent, a contagious, and a distinctively Christian practice of self-control. You know, we often talk about doctors practicing medicine and lawyers practicing law, and tonight I invite you to think of Christians practicing Christianity. This very evening, the Spirit will be working inside of us through the preaching of both the law and the gospel. The law commands us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, but only the gospel can motivate us to say no and to actually live self-controlled lives. The law can show us our sin, but only the gospel can show us our Savior and compel us out into the world. The law is that mirror which stops us and gets us to realize we're in the wrong place. But the gospel actually effects change inside of us. It provides the reason, the strength, and the will to do what pleases God. From our gospel lesson for tonight, as we explore Joseph and Mary living out their vocations in marriage and family, the Holy Spirit would be working in our hearts obedience, and not just a little bit of it once in a while, but a consistent, a contagious, and a distinctively Christian obedience. We don't know much about Joseph before the decree went out from Caesar that all the world should be registered, but we do know that the Holy Spirit had been working on his heart. We know that he had been circumcised. We know that he was a descendant of David. We know that in that day, marriages were often arranged by spouses' parents. Often in those days, marriages were arranged based on economics rather than romance. When Joseph found out that Mary was with child, as far as he knew, Mary had been unfaithful to him. Joseph would have every reason to react in anger and to dismiss her, to divorce her, even to charge her with adultery in a public kind of a way. But the grace of God had taught Joseph self-control. The grace of God had taught him already to live out his vocation as husband and father in a quiet and faithful fashion, even though believing required him to accept the impossibility of a virgin birth. He obeyed in quiet fashion. Many days he no doubt walked by faith, not by sight. By faith, Joseph went up the 85 miles or so from Nazareth into Bethlehem. By faith, he did what the law required. And as often as Joseph did his part in getting his son Jesus on his way in life, on his way to the cross, on a little hill outside of Jerusalem, as often as Joseph provided and protected and nurtured his family, that often all was well, all was calm, and all was bright. There's a lot we don't know about Mary before the angel Gabriel told her that she had found favor with God, that the Holy Spirit would come upon her, that her child would be the Son of the Most High God. We don't know exactly what she knew and what she didn't know regarding the next years of their life together. But what we do know is that the Holy Spirit had been working on Mary. In her heart was a humility and a confidence. Her assignment was to trust in the Lord and to do what he asked. By faith, Mary went up to Jerusalem, went up to Bethlehem. By faith, she gave birth to the very Son of God. By faith, she took care of him. By faith, she treasured the memories of the shepherds and the wise men visiting. By faith, she went all the way to the cross with her son. And she watched her Father in heaven pour out on Jesus a wrath against the sins of all the generations. But as often as she lived by faith and carried out her vocation as mother and wife, all was well, and all was calm, and all was bright. The kingdom of God is like a beautiful sanctuary jam-packed with God's people on Christmas Eve. These people struggle every day with the forces of darkness, but on them all a great light has shined. They know well not only the story of Christmas, but the companion stories of Good Friday and Easter Sunday. They know that first things come first and secondary things come second. They know that true love starts with God. It flows into their hearts and then out and about. They know that God's kindness and patience comes first, and then their kindness and patience for other people goes out and about. First, their sins are forgiven, and then they go looking for people to forgive. First, they are served, then they go looking for people to serve. First, Jesus lives out his vocation as Savior in perfect fashion on their behalf, and then they go back to their homes and to their workplaces. They go wherever God is asking them to go. They carefully manage all their treasures, all their talents, and all of their time for the glory of God. And as often as they do that, all is well, and all is calm, and all is bright. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life eternal. Amen. You may be seated. Please rise for prayer. Merciful Father, we give you thanks for all of your mercies new each morning. But most especially do we praise your goodness for giving us the gift of your only Son and for his revelation of your grace and his mighty acts of deliverance by which we shall be saved. Keep us faithful to Christ, that we may know and delight in his word. Through the ministry of this word, bring forth in us good fruit in keeping with your will and purpose. Lord, in your mercy, grant your blessing, O Lord, to all citizens of this land and those who serve us in your name, especially the President, the Congress, the Governor of this state, and all judges and magistrates. Grant that they may exercise the authority entrusted to them according to your divine providence. Lord, in your mercy, as our families gather in this holy season of our Savior's birth, give to us patience that we may be slow to judge and quick to forgive. Give for the lonely the comfort of your presence and help us to extend to them the welcome of our homes and the friendship of your grace. Make us mindful of those less fortunate. Teach us to be generous in the care of those in need. Accept with these offerings the living sacrifice of our bodies to your service, in our voices in praise and thanksgiving. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, we pray tonight. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Gracious God in heaven above, in your Son Jesus, there is hope that is rooted in historical fact. In you, O Lord Jesus, there is joy and there is peace that only you can give. In you, Lord Jesus, we have been loved and forgiven. We pray, O Lord, in the days ahead, that you would bless our acts of kindness and patience and forgiveness as we go out and about with what you have given us. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray tonight. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace.
Thank you. I have a shorter trip. But thank you.